Hey, welcome to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I'm going to be talking with all kinds of entertainers, musicians, artists, comedians, singers, songwriters, bands, about their life, their career, their inspirations, their philosophies. I'd love for you to subscribe, like, and leave us a review. On this episode, we are talking to the one and only Wolf Hoffman, pioneer in speed and neoclassical metal, touring Europe right now, then bringing Accept, their band, to the States for the first time in around 10 years. Hi, Wolf.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you for taking the time. And I know y'all are touring Europe right now and then bringing Accept to the States. Did I read that correctly? First time in around 10 years?
Yeah, that is correct. Absolutely. Done shows in the U.S., just not a full-blown U.S. tour coast to coast like this.
And I did see 4 Texas dates, Houston, Fort Worth, San Antonio, and El Paso in October. That, I guess, reflects your fan base here.
It does. I mean, we've always had great fans in Texas, and that's a reflection of that. I mean, usually, We like the farther south we get, same in Europe. I mean, the more passionate the fans get, and obviously southern United States, Texas, and going into Mexico, that's where all the hot-blooded, crazy-ass metal fans are.
I did read that South America, your fans are just very passionate and like they are about soccer, just off the chain about the metal genre.
Yeah, definitely are. And I mean, you said it. It's just like when you watch a soccer game on TV or whatever, these fans down there, they just love to sing and they do everywhere. Wherever we go, we've got great fans. Don't get me wrong. It's just a reflection of the mentality and the people are just more hot-blooded down there, and they love to sing along, you know, ole, 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 and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, you feel like you're at some sort of a, what is it called, Stierkampf, like a bullfight or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I did see, and forgive my Texas accent here, the Wacken Festival. You've played that multiple times. I know the Wacken Open Air 2022 mm-hmm. is going on this week. I didn't see Accept in the lineup. Did I miss it someplace?
No, you read correctly. We're not on this year. We can't do it every year. We've done it 3 years ago with a big show with orchestra and everything. That was fantastic. And we're really looking forward to going back there soon. It just wasn't in the cards this year. I mean, I have to say, we've done more shows across Europe than we've ever done before. I mean, we've played, when it's all said and done, we played 20. A couple of them were canceled because of COVID-related, mm-hmm. whatever, supply issues, blah. Not sure the exact reason why, but it was supposed to be like 25 shows or something. Incredible.
Wow, man.
Festival shows. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Too Mean to Die, your 16th studio album that came out in 2021. How long did it take for this album to come together?
About the usual time, several months. And we did it a little different because, you know, Andy is now, our producer, Andy Sneap, is now in Judas Priest, as a lot of fans know. He's the live guitar player for them as well as their producer. So he's, a lot of times, he's really busy nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, and we had this small window of time that he had, I forget exactly when, and we weren't 100% ready with songwriting.
Yeah.
So we said, why don't we just record what we have? He looked through all the material, or listened through all the material, and we thought it was about 5 or 6 or 7 songs that were worth recording at that point. And we said, why don't we just start and then see when we have time to do the rest. Let's not worry about that quite yet. So we started recording in the middle of all that. As we were winding down that first batch of songs, COVID started to happen, which meant everybody went back home. We finished the songwriting. And then when it was time to record the second batch, COVID was in full force and there was no more traveling between the United States and Europe. So he couldn't come back to work with us. And we had no other choice but to do it remotely with him being sort of present online, listening in, and we could see him and we could get his comments, but he was like far away in the UK. It was odd, man. I have to really say it was kind of odd, but at the same time, it wasn't as bad as you think it might have been. It was like a Zoom call almost.
You know, we all kind of learned to rally during that time and had some new ways of doing things, maybe working smarter, not harder, come out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly like, you know, you love to sit down with your friends and have a cup of coffee and really look them in the eye and have a business meeting in person and all that kind of stuff. But when you can't, you go on Zoom and you sit there and you can see him, you get a somewhat of a feeling of what it's like if he was there, but it's not quite the same thing, obviously.
But it gets it done.
It gets it done, and that's how it felt with us. I tell you, one of the odd things that you don't think about necessarily is the time difference between Europe and the UK. So when Mark was ready to sing, and you know he likes to sing in the afternoon, early evenings, it was already past midnight in the UK. So poor Andy had to be up until 2 and 3 in the morning and longer, just because you know that's when we like to work in the States. You know?
Right. On Too Mean to Die, I love zombie apocalypse. That picture of technology turning us into plugged in zombies, it reminds me of Stephen King's book Cell. I love it.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. That was kind of Mark's idea, the whole zombie idea. And at first, I was a little reluctant when he presented that song title to me. And I thought, like, what the hell? You know, write a song about zombies now. But he said, no, it's about people walking down the streets like zombies with their iPhones in hand.
And, right. You
know, he has a point there. A lot of times I've been a zombie walking down the street with my...
Yeah. And just trip over a crack in the sidewalk because I'm looking at my stupid phone. The title track and The Best Is Yet to Come, I think, are two of my favorites off that album. And they seem like opposite ends of the spectrum lyrically and musically.
Yeah.
But really, are they?
Well, no. I mean, they're all come out of from the same source, so to say, and the same vibe and spirit. It was just never done many ballads. That's why maybe this The Best Is Yet to Come seems like an odd one, or on the far end of the spectrum, as you call it. But it just felt like it's such a good song. We really wanted to see and what it would be like if Mark would sing the song. And I really did a fantastic job. So we really feel good and wanted it really to be on this album.
It is gorgeous in every way. The music, the lyrics, and his voice. It's such a great surprise. But then yet it blends in so well with your other music too, because being the neoclassical type feel, it's just really beautiful with the instrumentation. Now, you have been the constant through the inception and evolution of Accept.
Mm-hmm.
What do you attribute that to?
I've just never left the band. Everybody else has. I mean, that was never my intention to end up like this. It's just like sort of happens along the way, you know. One after the other leaves the ship, and whoever is left on that ship becomes the captain, I guess.
Yeah. And I read this quote and I love this. If you try to be too perfect, then you always have the risk of becoming really boring. It's still five guys sweating their asses off on stage and just playing the hell out of their instruments. And I know that metal just requires full court press, full tilt. How do you sustain that level of passion and energy on stage day after day?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just something that, I mean, we like what we do, and it's a certain work ethic involved. You know, hell, we started in Germany. We've always had that sort of like go get it attitude, and a job is a job. So we better never half ass anything.
Yeah.
We always had that going. But then at some point, it's because we like what we're doing. You know, it's not like we feel we have to do anything. Sometimes I think we don't have to even prove anything to anybody anymore. I mean,
right.
It was done so much after all these years. When we go out there, and it would feel wrong if we just sort of stand there, or like, you know, we aren't really into it. I don't know. It's never been even a question. You go out there, the audience gets into it, that fires you up. And before you know it, you forget about time and space and just rock your ass off. It's gorgeous. I have to say, I've never found anything in life that kind of comes close to that. I've done a lot of things besides music. I've become a photographer. I've done other things here and there, but man, that adrenaline thing on stage when you're out there and the audience starts singing along and firing you up, and you start a riff and they recognize the riff, and that energy that comes towards you on stage is just second to none. It's unbelievable. And that is something that almost becomes addictive over time. So you really want that again and again, and it doesn't never feel like it's work or anything ever.
It's always a get to, not ever a got to.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a cliche when we all say that, but it's really true. It's really something that's incredible.
And that's what I wanted to ask you too, and talking about what you get from the audience, from people that maybe aren't into metal music or metal culture or yeah. don't know that much about it. Can you describe that pull and enjoyment of it for, now you've described it on your side on the stage, but can you kind of describe it from the fans' viewpoint? Because they're very passionate.
They are. And I get to see what I see from the stage. I've never been one that goes to many other shows.
Yeah.
Once you're a musician yourself, you're no longer a spectator. You always, I don't know, you see everything with different eyes. And I know from my side of the stage and seeing into the audience, I can see how excited they get. And I see how much they really forget about everything. They, you know, they raise their arms. And it's so much more than just a spectator in a way. It's really a participant. I mean, the audience is as important as we are, because it's really a yin-yang kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If the audience is a bit lame some nights or something, then we aren't as good. It's just the way it goes. But when they're hot and they're hungry and excited, then it fires us up even more, you know.
So, kind of feeding off each other?
Yeah, not kind of. It's really... It really is feeding off each other.
About what you do, what do you love the most? Is it the songwriting? Is it the preparation, the playing, the performing? Or like you were just talking about, seeing what you bring to your fans and what they bring to you. Is there a part that's your favorite?
It's that moment on stage. I think everybody would agree on that. You know, nobody likes sitting around for 10 hours or like traveling all these endless hours, sitting on buses and sitting in airports. That's all really just to get to that one point when you're out there and doing it. That's really my favorite part. But I have to say, creating a song is also sometimes quite magic. It can also be a lot of work, don't get me wrong. Sometimes these songwriting sessions can be a bit frustrating when you don't have any ideas and the sparks aren't really flying and you can't really force that. It's either happening or it's not. So you gotta just do it again the next day and do it again until you got enough stuff together. But sometimes there's these moments when everything sort of falls in place, and before you know it, you have a song that didn't exist maybe a couple hours before. That is an amazing feeling. It feels like you've given birth to something in a weird way. And it's still a bit of a mystery to me, where does it really come from? Because you sit there and you have an idea, but where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of pops into your head or into your hands, and all of a sudden you write something, a cool riff and a melody and a few words and da 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 da, one kind, you know, and then you create this new creation, and there it is. It's beautiful, I hope.
Right.
Sometimes it's not and you throw it away, but you know, it's songwriting can be a magic process.
Are you an artist that you'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh my God, I've got to write that down?
Sometimes, and I tell you when, only when I'm sensitized enough. Usually like in my day-to-day life, no. But I get into these weeks, and yeah, it's usually weeks and months when I'm, no, I have to write songs, and I sit there and I make myself work on stuff, then I can't shut it off. It just keeps going in my head. And then a lot of times, weirdly enough, a lot of times when I've taken a shower, I have ideas. So I run back into the studio, dripping wet sometimes, and just, you know, record something that pops into my head. But what I was trying to say is you're sort of in this heightened sense of alertness, or I am, when I'm writing songs a lot of times. Other times, no, nothing. It's bizarre.
Are there things when you know that you are going into that songwriting process, because it's definitely in its own compartment, it sounds like. And are there any things that feed that more than others, whether it's visual or what you're eating or, you know, just anything like that, that helps you with that process or feeds that process?
I wish there was. Because if there was something, I would have more of it, no matter what it. No, I haven't found anything that really helps that. I mean, like I said, when you're in the songwriting process, I become more sensitive, and the antennas go up, and I write down more stuff, and I notice more stuff, and it's almost like you're in a slightly different state of mind,
kind of a hyper awareness.
Kind of, yeah. All of these keep popping and continuing in my head more than normal. Mm-hmm.
Now, did I read correctly that you and Peter do a lot of the songwriting together?
We did. Peter Baltus was my longtime songwriting buddy, but he left the band 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
And luckily, some of the new guys that we have in the band, Martin Motnick, for instance, a new bass player, he contributed a bunch of stuff to this album. So that was great. And of course, Mark Tonillo is in charge of lyrics. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's still a group effort, very much so. But I usually write the majority. I mean, now I write the majority of the stuff for sure.
Now, I want to ask you about y'all coming to the States in a minute, but I wanted to touch on something a lot of your fans may not know about you. They many do, but some don't. Mm-hmm. That photography, we mentioned it a minute ago, kind of morphed from a hobby to a profession for you. We're making a living in Nashville doing corporate photography.
I was, yeah.
Now, I know it doesn't feed you as much as the band and being on stage, but does it feed you in ways other than financial?
Well, I've got to tell you a secret, or it's not a secret, but I kind of stopped doing that about 5 years ago, or maybe longer than that now, because initially when the band had the reunion, which is over 10, 12 years ago now, or the rebirth and restart with Mark Tonillo all these years ago, I was still a photographer, because when Accept was retired there for a number of years, that's what I did full time. I was a photographer. I liked it. I loved it. But music is still my, I would say it this way, I liked photography and I loved music.
Okay.
So music was always number one. But when the band was broke up and there was no music, I thought, well, that's my second choice is photography. And I did corporate stuff. I did advertising. I did all kinds of stuff just to make money. And it was all creative. It was beautiful. It fed me well. And I was quite successful. But then when there was a choice or an opportunity to play music again, I was immediately on board and fired up. But I did both things for a couple of maybe 4 years parallel to each other. But then the music took over and I had to make a choice and said, I can't do both. So I'm a full-fledged musician since many years now.
Hands down music.
At the moment of it. But it was, I mean, photography is great. I love it.
What are you looking forward most to about coming back to the States?
Seeing all these places that we haven't played in for so long, you know, the Mid-State and like Texas. And we've done individual shows, but I'm looking forward to staying on the bus for several weeks and really traveling coast to coast and doing a full-blown tour. There's a difference between a different mindset, almost a different routine when you're on a proper tour bus and you play every night and you just get up in the new city and you play a show, you hop on the bus, you travel overnight, and it's become some sort of I wouldn't call it routine because that sounds bad, but it is, I don't know, into this tour vibe kind of thing where you get every night at around 7 o'clock, you want to go on stage, you know.
Do you do anything in particular to get ready? I know you said that Mark, the singer, you know, he has his own warm-up that he does about an hour before the show. What do you do besides getting warmed up on the guitar?
Besides eating? let's see. What do we do? I mean, I usually warm up. Absolutely. Yeah. I have a little guitar, warm-up guitar. I guess we all do, really. Mark does his vocal routine where he takes his headphones and he usually goes off into a different room and does his like scales and stuff. Because I think for a singer, it's super important. Get the voice warmed up and ready. Because you don't do any harm, especially the way that he sings. He's not that young anymore, and he's still got an amazing voice. I think it's due to the fact that he warms up so regularly and so well, you know, because he can still hit those high notes. We're still playing in the regular key of, you know, A440, which hardly any band does anymore nowadays. They're all tuned down to help out the singer.
Yeah.
We don't. We don't need to because, hell, he can still do it as it was recorded, which is great. So, yeah, I mean, I have a little guitar. I warm up and I do some stretches. So I don't like to go out on stage all cold and you know, cranky. I want to be in shape, you know.
And you do look like you're in great shape. You always have been. And it looks like you're maintaining that.
Thank you. Well, I think it's more fun to be in shape.
Yes.
I tell you, sometimes, you know, we all do it. We eat a little bit too much. We gain some weight. And the wake up call for me is a lot of times when I see these pictures of myself. You know, because being out there on stage, people take pictures all the time. And then sometimes you see a few things where you think like, oh, I better watch it. You know,
get a little fluffy. Yeah.
Yeah. Better hit the gym again a little bit more, you know, because that's vanity, I guess, comes in.
Well, but I think also, especially as we're not in our 20s and 30s anymore, I think it helps so much, not just with strength and fitness, but vitality and mental clarity. It helps so much.
It does. And I actually notice a lot of times, Especially, yeah, these last few years, last 10, 15 years more than ever. I mean, if you work out regularly, you feel better. I mean, I think the main part is that we're super excited that we're coming back to the States and we're gonna bring, oh yeah, hey, here's one thing we haven't talked about. We are like three guitar players in the band now. I don't know if that was,
Oh, wow.
yeah. And it all came about when we did a tour with orchestra 3 years ago, and our other guitar player, Uwe Lulis, who's the guy who lives in Germany, only one of us still in Germany. He wasn't available on that tour, and we had to take a replacement. His name is Philip Schaus, a friend of our drummers from Nashville. He joined us on that tour, and we discovered what an amazing guitar player he is and what a nice guy. And he really fit in so well that we decided when that tour was over, you know what? We're just going to keep him on, and Uwe as well. So we now have three guitar players, and that's a killer package, I have to say.
I was going to
It's really.
say, that's some freaking power on stage now.
Yeah, and it enables us to do a bunch of stuff that we weren't able to do before. You know, there's always overdubs on records that we aren't able to reproduce, and things like that, and twin leads and a rhythm guitar player. So I think it just opened up the whole spectrum quite a bit musically and also visually on stage. I mean, him and I are really working really well together.
In
So it's
sync.
in sync, definitely. Yeah.
That's
Philip,
exciting. That is
yeah,
super
super
exciting.
excited. And it sounds killer. I think it doesn't change 100%, but it definitely brought some extra sparkle to the whole thing. It's great. Well, we're a guitar band after all,
Yeah.
so if we have more, now we have a, you know, guitar army on stage in a way. But yeah, a little bit. It's great.
Like it though. Hey, you know what? And you have absolutely, you're in the perfect genre for it. Now, what is one thing, Wolf, that your fans don't know about you and or the band, but that you want them to know?
Shit, by now I think they know everything about me. Sometimes I'm amazed all the things they know. There you go.
And
There
there
you
you
go.
go. Wolf, thank you so much for joining me. You've been very generous with your time.
Love doing interviews. I love talking about to fans or to journalists and to like-minded people, I should say. You know, metal people that know the genre and love the music. It's always great fun.
Thank you very, very much.
Awesome. It's great talking with you. Take care.
Thank you, Wolf. Thank you so much for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal.